C2A. Number 8A.
We started this morning already with the main tone of soul, which teaches us that if we are one with soul, God, that then comes to us and gives us the consistency and the firmness and the perseverance to actually go in the line of spirit, to go from on the way from sense to soul without stumbling and without retracing our steps. How is this great subject explained through the subtones? And again we can see that we nearly could calculate spiritually what Mrs. Eddy must present here. If we know that she starts out with soul as mind, well, what is mind? Mind is always that which is the intelligence and wisdom that guides and leads. So if we have a way from sense to soul, can you hear soul? From sense to soul, that mind is that which would lead us, which would give us the insight and the wisdom so that we would know how we are led on that way. Is that easy, intelligible? You don't seem to react very much on that. You see what I have done right now? I have now changed my method for once a while and said, "What?" I didn't say what is in the text, I said what must be in the text, which gives us already a further outlook on the whole textbook, namely that we should see that if the divine principle reveals itself in a revealed text, and that divine principle really reveals itself as a system, as categories, and therefore we know that system, that we more or less can calculate ourselves what must be in the text. Isn't that quite a new step? So that we will actually see that if we read the text here, that Mrs. Eddy explains that very point. That she explains that the way from sense to soul, looked at from the point of view of mind, says mind has that intelligence that can lead us, that can give us the vision, that can give us the insight, really, to go that way. Now let's see how she explains it. It's a rather lengthy explanation because she tries to symbolize it with an example, and the moment actually one tries to symbolize it with an example, one has to use more words. So I can rather quickly read this, and I just point out where we have soul and where we have mind. I read on page 21, 15. If my friends are going to Europe while I am en route for California, we are en route, we are on the way, we are not journeying together. So there is no identity of going the way. That's soul. We have separate timetables to consult. Can you hear to consult? Mind is that which consults. But if we are not turning to mind, then we have a wrong consultation. And we have separate timetables to consult, different routes to pursue, to go, to lead. Our paths have diverged at the very outset, and we have little opportunity to help each other. There is no mutual interest. There is no possibility of helping each other. You know that soul is always that which gives that sense of mutual interest. That one has a mutual, if there is only one soul, one has in science, therefore, just one mutual interest. Where have I been? Yeah. On the contrary, If my friends pursue my course, can you see, mind leads the course, mind designates and points out the course, it's all about mind and the leading of it. We have the same railroad guides, mind guides, and if mind guides, we have the same, which is the tone of soul, of identical, then our interests, our ways are identical. So if we go away from sense to soul and let us instruct by the divine mind, that then divine mind leads us in the same way, with identical interest. So, again, I read 20. On the contrary, if my friends pursue my course, we have the same railroad guides and our mutual interests are identical. Can you see soul? Our mutual interests are identical. Or, if I take up their line of travel, they help me on, okay, their line of travel, their guiding, their course, mind, then there is mutual interest, each one can help the other one. So we can only help each other if we take the same mind as our guiding line, as that which gives us the guidance and the leading and the information and the consultation, then our mutual interests are identical. Or if I take up their line of they help me on and our companionship may continue. So this is a symbol in order to show soul as mind. She goes on in that tone in a second paragraph and shows now being in sympathy with matter, then the worldly man, the worldly minded, not the divine minded, the worldly minded, the worldly man is at the beck and call of error. Is at the beck and call, this is no more soul, the definiteness of soul, that's already that vibrating between to and fro, between error, and be attracted thitherward. He's like a traveler going westward on a pleasure trip. The company is alluring and the pleasure is exciting. All seems to go well on that pleasure trip. But after following the sun for 6 days, he turns east on the seventh day. He retracts, satisfied if he can only imagine. It's only imagining. It's no more that mind that leads and consults us. Now this is the worldly minded that imagines, you see, the counterfeit of mind, that imagines himself drifting in the right direction. Drifting in the right direction or in the right direction is the way from sense to soul. So if we rely on the worldly mind and have no divine mind to consult us and to tell us how to lead and how to take our course, then we imagine that we are still on the right road, and factually, naturally, we are not on the right road. By and by, ashamed of this zigzag course, can you hear zigzag is the counterfeit of soul, of the definiteness of soul, and it's a course, it's again mind that leads the way. So ashamed of this zigzag course, he would borrow the passport of some wiser pilgrim. Now we have again the point of mind of the wise pilgrim, thinking with the aid of this to find and follow the right road. And you see that if we go to the wise course, to the wise cause, to the divine mind, that then we are actually on the right road. That's the whole tone of soul and mind. Can you see that what we were calculating before we were reading, that calculation would have been a right calculation, that Mrs. Eddy couldn't just write what she wanted to write, she had to write what is in the divine infinite calculus. So that if we have the subject of soul at the point where soul is depicted as that which leads us from sense to soul, and I have that as a subject, then mind says to that, I am the intelligence that gives you the right information to bring you on the right course so that you actually go into the right direction, that you actually go from sense to soul, and that you don't imagine to be on the right way when you are on the wrong way. Isn't that crystal clear? So in this way we can really define what really the text must say. Now, what must the text say when we take this line from sense to soul, if that is the subject, and we look at it from the point of view of spirit, as we see it right afterwards? What is spirit? We have seen spirit. The main tone of spirit was showing that there is a line, an order, which goes always towards spirit, which always brings forth fruits, which always brings forth success. So spirit would say that if you go and stick to that right road from sense to soul, your life will be a success. You will always go forward and no more backward. Wouldn't that be a nice combination of soul and spirit? That spirit says, you go forward. Spirit is unfoldment, is development, is evolution, is that which brings forth fruit, and not the other way around, that goes back and has repercussions. So let's see what Mrs. Eddy says here. She says, she brings it up first from the negative point of view. That's also something very nice to see, that usually she gives the positive view and the negative view, because we have to see through both sides of the coin. So she starts here out with a negative sense of soul, namely vibrating like a pendulum. See, vibrating like a pendulum, that's the counterfeit of the steadiness of soul, between sin and then the hope of forgiveness, namely selfishness and sensuality. Selfishness, sensuality, was this that? That's a counterfeit of soul, isn't it? So, selfishness and sensuality causing constant retrogression. So the false sense of soul gives the false sense of spirit, namely instead of progress, it gives retrogression. So this is a negative calculus of soul as spirit, that if we are not in line with soul, with the steadiness and the persistence of soul, but vibrate constantly between the two extremes, then we can make no progress, but we make a retrogressive step. So it causes retrogression. And our moral progress, the progress which really would be spirit, will be slow. I guess this is also very clear, anyway, to me. Yes. Then she makes that statement in the middle of the paragraph, waking to Christ's demand, mortals experience suffering. This is the great line that we had before when we were looking into the overall tone of the chapter. This is that overall tone which says, well, if we wake up to Christ's demand and see that we have been vibrating between two extremes constantly and therefore nothing got back except retrogression, then if we wake up, we really experience suffering. So it's a Christ at this point that says, I bring you suffering if you are not going the way of soul. And this causes them, even as drowning men, to make vigorous efforts. Now you get again the vigorous efforts to save themselves. Now you get the tone of soul in it, that it says, well, you have to be a sticker and you have to pull up your socks and you have to pull everything, put everything into your efforts. You can't be a sluggard. You have to have vigorous efforts to save themselves. And then through Christ's precious love, these efforts are crowned with success. Can you see, if we go along the Christ demand and therefore make vigorous effort instead of vibrating constantly to and fro, we make a success of our life, spirit. Spirit is always that which brings fruit, that which brings progress, that brings success. That's the fruit of spirit. So here, in both ways, in a negative and a positive way, she depicts that law of soul as spirit and says in a negative way, if we vibrate and are not consistent, we will experience retrogression. If we are making vigorous efforts in the right direction, then our efforts will be crowned with success, with progress. Is it very clear? You see that the textbook talks about subjects. Naturally, if you would just take the capitalized term and look at the capitalized term, you just get a wild story, which has nothing to do with science. We really must begin to touch the subject of the textbook and of the text, and then suddenly we begin to see that what she presents here is a very ordered and logical sequence. Yeah. We go to soul and say to ourselves, now, really, what will be soul as soul? Soul we have seen as the main tone is showing that we have to go the way from sense to soul. Then as soul must always be really our attitude towards it. And our attitude in soul is that steadfastness. And we must get here, a sense that she says that we really can go forward on that path of sense to soul if we put everything into it that is of the nature of soul, that is of the nature of steadfastness. Let's see if Mrs. Eddy says the same also. Actually, she doesn't say so. It's the divine revelation that says so. All right, she says, work out your own salvation. She said, do something about it. Work out that salvation from sense to soul. Work out your own salvation is a demand of life and love, and for to this end, God worketh with you. So we have first a terrific sense that God is with us, because we have seen if we are one with soul, soul is with us. Now, if God is with us as soul, what kind of qualities are raised up within our consciousness? Naturally, the same qualities as soul has, soul qualities. What are they? Occupy till I come. Can you see now comes all those terms that bring out the perseverance and the steadfastness. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward and be not weary in well-doing, be a sticker, just go on, be perseverant. If your endeavors, again endeavors as a tone of soul, are beset by fearful odds, and you receive not present reward, what shall you do? Go not back to error. You see, don't go back, be a sticker, nor become a sluggard in your race, go forward. So in that little paragraph, we really get that tonality that we work out our own salvation. How? How do we work out that passage from sense to soul? by soul qualities, occupy delightkam, be not weary in well-doing. You must have endeavors, and you must not go back to error, nor become a sluggard, and they all have the same tonality. So that there are four or five different qualities that are brought out, which we can take together and say they are qualities of just soul. That's why that whole paragraph will tell us what is soul as soul. Also, the next paragraph still comes in that subject. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will then discern the good you have done. Then we can see really the result of our steadfastness and receive according you deserving. But she wants to say something to us and say, be patient with yourself. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation. Says this attitude is an attitude that does not bring always immediate reward, because love is not hasty to deliver us, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. You see that really our steadfastness will be tried, that we are put under the stress of circumstances, that we really have to prove that we mean it, and that we are in earnest about it, so that she gives that human aspect of God's law, which says, well, it is not hasty, you have to persevere and not just think that in one go you can do it. Yes. So this would lead us to principle. Well, what must principle tell us? If we know that we have here the subject, that we have to go the way from sense to soul, and we look at it from principle, naturally I think we would see that principle demands something of us, namely that we demonstrate it, that we work it out, that we do some work about it. And so principle is always that which demands that we are working out a situation and demonstrate the situation, that it is up to us now to use that principle. Let's see what Mrs. Eddy tells it. So she speaks about that final deliverance from error. It is the final deliverance, because above she has said, work out your own salvation. So now she said, that working out of the divine salvation, that final deliverance from error, whereby we rejoice in immortality, boundless freedom, and sinless sense, that's the tone of soul. Soul is characterized by rejoicing in immortality, freedom, sinless sense. That this deliverance, this working out to the point of soul, is not reached through paths of flowers, nor by pinning one's faith without works to another's vicarious effort. So can you hear, now comes in principle that says that salvation is not brought about through vicarious work, through a mediator, somebody working it out for you. Principle says you have to work it out yourself. Principle is that which says work it out yourself. Therefore, whosoever believes that wrath is righteous, or that divinity is appeased by human suffering, does not understand God. It says, you can't win heaven, you can't have salvation just by human suffering. That you say, I suffer it out. You must do something more than just to let the Christ bring you the experience of the suffering. Go and use principle, and work it out on the basis of principle and on science, and not just on the basis of human suffering. Work it out through the spiritual power of principle. Yes? Okay. From time to time, when you have read a few subtones, in order not to lose the thread, it's always good to go back and just say, what have I done up to now? We have read already a whole page, and so we are perhaps well advised to say now, what have I seen in just a few words? I have seen what? I have seen the great subject of soul, that through man's unity with soul, we are really enabled to go the way from sense to soul. How? I let myself be inspired by the divine mind and guided by the divine mind. That mind will lead me. I go to spirit and begin to see that if I stick to that way of sense to soul, that I will make progress. That I will make progress. And at the point of soul says, yes, but that progress doesn't just fall easily into your lap. You have to use all your wonderful qualities of soul, of persevering in it, of sticking it, not to go back to error, not to become a sluggard. You have to go right through it. How are you going right through it? What is your way of going right through it? And you come to principle and says, you have to work that salvation out through your own works. You have to work for it. Don't think that somebody else will do it for you. There is no vicarious salvation. Isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? It's a easy flow, a natural ordered flow. And that shows you that perhaps in earlier times you were reading this page and say, yes, this sentence is nice and that sentence is nice, without really seeing the coherency of the subject. And it's actually the coherency of the subject that reveals the content of the text.